Mouse and Charlie Mouse. Well, hello, little mice. We haven't talked for a long time. What's the matter? What? You're mad at me? Oh, White Mouse and Charlie Mouse, why are you mad at me? Max, Joshua. Oh, you mean because we haven't talked to Joshua and Max and Rebecca for such a long time? Is that why you're mad at me? Oh, you miss them. Oh, they miss you too. Well, I've been busy. Why have I been so busy? Well, I had to write a paper, I had to do my homework, and I had to send it away, and I had to meet a deadline. I didn't have time for these nice little grandchildren. I was just too busy. Oh, White Mouse, you mean I'm a naughty grandma? Yes. White Mouse, I'm not going to be a naughty grandma anymore. I am going to be a nice grandmother, and we'll all keep in touch with the kids, okay? Well, now, what are you doing for Valentine's Day? Oh, White Mouse, you have a red dress. Well, that's just like Rebecca. She has a red dress, too. Charlie Mouse, that's what you're doing for Valentine's Day. Do you know what he's doing, kids? He painted his nose red for Valentine's Day, and he put a big heart on top of his nose. Isn't that the silliest thing? Generally, Charlie Mouse's nose is pink, isn't it? But today, for Valentine's Day, he painted it red, so everybody would know what a clown he is. He's a funny mouse, really. Oh, well, I'll ask the kids. Joshua, Max, Rebecca, White Mouse wants to know, what have you been doing since the summer was over? That's how long it's been since we've all been in touch. Well, I know that Maxie goes to nursery school, and I think Joshua does, and I know Rebecca goes to school, and Rebecca and Joshie go to temple. Oh, and I saw their pictures in the paper, too. Yes. Well, we all have to get together again, don't we, someday? Okay. Now, White Mouse, tell me, what are you doing right now? Charlie Mouse fell asleep. Well, twiggle his whiskers. Wake him up. He wants to stay and talk to the kids, doesn't he? She's trying... Maxie, Rebecca, Joshua... She's trying to wake him up by twiggling his whiskers. And he doesn't want to wake up. He wants to sleep. He wants to take a little nap. Charlie Mouse, get up. Get up, Charlie Mouse. Squish, squish. Okay, what'd you wake me up for? I'm so sleepy. What have you been doing, Charlie Mouse? Oh, playing. What kind of games do you play with the other mice? Oh, we play ball and soccer ball, and we play music. We play everything. Anything and everything, that's what we play. Oh, and White Mouse says, tell Rebecca that I'm 6 years old, too. You are, White Mouse. Well, in mouse time, I'm 6 years old. Oh, I see. And how old is Charlie Mouse? He's going to be four. Four? That's just like Joshua and Maxie. They're both going to be four, too. And they like you, Charlie Mouse. And they would like to twiggle your whiskers, too. What are you doing with your tail right now? Ah, you're doing a mouse dance with your tail. Oh, let me see that. Oh, isn't that fun? See, he does it to a count. He goes... And now he's turning around and around, and now he's thumping again. Oh, and now White Mouse is joining in, and oh, she's dancing so gently, and her paws are up in the air. Well, little children, Maxie and Rebecca and Joshua, Nana, Grandma B, had to leave quite suddenly, and we left it, and it was Valentine's Day, that was February, And now it is May 2nd, and we're starting the story again because something happened. It was a kind of a mystery. Well, this is what the mystery was about. When Nana Grandma B got home, what is it, Charlie Mouse? Said Nana Grandma B, and White Mouse was saying, what? Oh, you heard a message on the message machine. What did it say? Charlie Mouse says that there were little children's voices, children from far away. White Mouse said, we can't think who they would be. So, said White Mouse, we lifted down your book. Oh boy, was that heavy, said Charlie Mouse. And they took down Nana's book, Grandma B's book, her book of children's names and addresses, as said Little White Mouse. And then we found the two little children who lived on an Indian reservation, said Charlie. Oh, I like those kids a lot. They're a lot of fun. But, said White Mouse, they don't live there anymore. They moved away last summer. Well, who else could it be? Could it be their cousin? There's a little boy who lives in something, and they call him Maxie, Milwaukee Maxie. That's the little boy. Oh, I'm burning to know, said White Mouse. And truly, her little pink nose was bright red. And Grandma Bee, Nana, said, oh, her nose was so hot when I touched her nose, my fingers sizzled. And Charlie Mouse said, who can the children be? I'm itching to know. And he was scratching behind his ear. Oh, Charlie Mouse, you look just like a dog, said White Mouse. Charlie Mouse stopped scratching immediately because mice don't like dogs. Charlie Mouse said, mm-mm, not for me. So then they said, we've got to get another book. There is another book, and that one was all about children who, the title, who moved last summer. Oh, I'm sure we'll find their names in there. And they looked all through the book with the title, Children Who Moved Last Summer. And in the middle of the book, it said, if you want to know who the children are, you have to look in the book that tells the name of all the children who drove across country last summer with their mother and father. And they also have the names of all the children who fly to San Francisco and stay in a hotel. Said Charlie Mouse. Could that be Milwaukee Max? Because remember when Grandma B, Nana, was telling us about her visit to San Francisco? Said White Mouse. I wonder. Well, anyway, Charlie Mouse said, I'm getting tired of carrying all these books just to look up a couple of kids who are probably little bratty kids who don't put their toys away and can't even write their names. Oh, shh, said White Mouse. I'm sure they're nice. Well, pretty nice, not perfect. And I know they know how to write their names because they sounded so smart on the message machine. Okay, I'll climb up and get that little red book and see if their names are in it. But this is the last book. Charlie Mouse, you get up on the shelf, and I'll jump on your back, and I'll reach the book. So Charlie Mouse, up, and White Mouse, onto his back, and then she whipped her tail up onto the top shelf and wrapped her tail around the book and brought it down on the shelf. It was a talking book, and it said, the children who drove across country with their mother and father last summer. Oh, the battery died out. Shake it. Oh, we almost know him. Here comes Nana. Grandma B. What's the matter, said Grandma B. said, Nana, well, you look close to tears. The book was going to tell us who the children were, and the battery doesn't work. Wait, said Grandma B. I've got extra batteries in the refrigerator.
Refrigerator?
It keeps them fresh. Okay, let's get them. So Nana, Grandma B, went to the fridge, and
when she opened the door, Charlie Mouse and White Mouse were shaking. Cold in there. Oh, don't ever get caught in there, Nana, Grandma B warned. Oh, not me, said Charlie Mouse. It's too cold.
They put the batteries in the talking book, and the book wound up little by little, and we heard it say, the children who drove across country with their mother and father and Milwaukee Max who flies to San Francisco are
give it a shake.
And Charlie shook the book as hard as he could, and the book said, Rebecca and Joshua back and Milwaukee Maxie who lives in Wisconsin.
We know them. They're our friends. They live. One lives in Albany and the other lives in Milwaukee in Wisconsin. Hello, Rebecca and Joshua and Max. Hello. Wait for the big announcement. What? It's about our what?
Shh. It's a surprise. Signing off, White Mouse said. Wait. Ask if they know a little girl with blonde hair. Charlie Mouse said, hey, ask if they know a kid who plays soccer and a boy who has a sword like Robin. And the talking book stopped. The battery had died out again. So that's all about our story for today, my darling children. Guess how much I love you. I'll bet you can't count that many numbers to count up how much I love you. Signing off, Grandma B. Nana.
same thing. I know a person who cannot have a love affair without the feeling, the physical feeling of unhappiness, without something in her body being disturbed and uncomfortable, because a love affair to her by now means pain. And if she doesn't have that pain, she doesn't think she's having an experience. Mm-hmm. Okay, so given those, it means you don't hang on to that, even in a deep, unconscious way. Mm-hmm. You don't have to hang on to it. It's fine at this stage to say, I see how it could scare me. That's fine, because you're right in the middle. Now sail through it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's great, the freedom that you're getting mentally about the work. I want to ask one thing more about last week's lesson, now that I've complimented you both so much, right? Could you tell me what was stupid about your behavior, okay? Does anybody want to, me first? Do you remember what was kind of stupid about what you did?
I do.
Tell me, Julie. I mean, it's important, you know, to say.
The Pee Wee Herman thing.
Yeah, and what was that about?
When I did something where I'm supposed to see Rick look at me and stop.
Good work.
Yeah.
Okay.
So. And so I made the mistake of not really feeling him look at me, but just sort of acting that he was looking at me.
That's right.
But that wasn't as stupid as when I said I felt stupid because I had made the mistake.
Ah. Oh, good work. Great. Do you see? Yes, that's wonderful. So you did remember that. That, and we don't have to do it. I mean, everybody is oddly stupid about the things we keep doing. But as long as we see it that one day, I don't have to do that anymore. I see my stupidity. That's enough. Charles, what was dumb about what you did? You don't remember.
Well, you know, I don't.
You don't? Okay. You see, there's a blank spot, and I'll tell you what. For all that we have talked character, and to really think, I don't know what we've talked about, whatever we've done. When you went through the Boeing, the man in the crowd, and you were this, you were some kind of a middle-aged person, and you were concerned with larger gestures, and you were concerned with all the things that come afterwards, but you hadn't found a reason to be that person. Mm-hmm. And so that's okay. You see, you're not really ready, you know, to think. I mean, you need, let us say, a teacher or a director to give you a better character that will get you through that crowd scene. Mm-hmm. But what was stupid was that you went into rehearsal, went through a number of weeks of rehearsal, and didn't come to either your director or your teacher to say, check me out from the beginning. Mm-hmm. That's what was stupid. Does that make sense? See, I didn't expect you to know the stuff, but I expected you to know not to work that long doing the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, but that I still think is the singer's way.
Well, another thing is too, is that in the situation of a chorus,
yeah.
I mean, you really, you know, it's sort of just, they're just chunks, you know, and you really don't have a sense of who you are. Mm-hmm. I mean, for the first couple of weeks of rehearsal, you really are just a number. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're another voice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not until you're put on stage and there's a director in front of you that it becomes something else. I mean, I don't know if that's the way it should be. Or
well,
because you never, I mean, you know, all you know is you're singing, you know, tenor one here.
That's
and then
true.
In this line you're singing tenor two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not like, you know, oh, I'm singing the role of Rodolfo, who's a this and who's a that. I mean, the most that you might know is, you know, your upper class or your lower class or your street sweeper or
a
shopkeeper.
See, it's not that one can't be a function. See, I believe that when it's your turn to be a function on stage, you should know how to be a function. For example, if you're a servant, you see, or king's fool, immediately that brings to mind certain general categories. And yet within
And one should be able to be a servant without becoming so individual a servant mm-hmm. that you jump out of the story
mm-hmm.
or that you are a townsperson,
mm-hmm.
upper class. We want you to add a certain kind of color and movement and energy
mm-hmm.
on that stage, but we don't want you to jump out so that we watch you instead of Rodolfo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's very important. But I think that's so subtle. See, I think that that's a subtle acting problem. Maybe opera will never be ideally directed. I think maybe it should be that everyone moves through the staging first and then goes into the singing room
right.
and